Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We are in the Leaders Portfolio studio here today with the CEO, president, owner, and co-founder of Tape, Louisa Jaffe. And I want to thank these Leaders Portfolio sponsors for sponsoring leadership content so that we can have conversations with people like Louisa Jaffe. Thank you to these sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. And if you are trying to reach the leadership community, decision makers in this area, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We thank them for providing this great content so that we can better help the community. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, CEO, president, owner, and co-founder of Tape, Louisa Jaffe. Tape is located in Kingstown, Virginia, in Inc. 500, ranked number 77 on the Inc. 500 2009 list. And Tape is a service-disabled, veteran-owned, and woman-owned small business that provides program management, research and development, and IT services as a federal contractor. Welcome, Louisa, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you very much. It's delightful to be here.
And we appreciate you coming, Louisa. I know you're getting off a little bit of a cold, and so we appreciate the effort you made to come today.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
Now, explain better what Tape provides.
Tape provides services. We're not a product company. We're a service company. And everything that we do could fall into a category called program management. But we are focused very much on things like financial management. We have a big contract with the Army where we provide analysis and financial management, helping the Army with their training resources. We also are very strong in and up and coming in the area of cybersecurity. We have our own trademarked solution called CyberForge, and it is a service solution that's technology driven. What makes it special is we're constantly reviewing other small business technology that they bring to us and the ones that we think we can work into some kind of cybersecurity solution. We mix and match them and use our subject matter expertise to apply them to government's cybersecurity problems. And we also do another aspect not quite as well understood outside of our industry called acquisition support, which is basically it's supporting the government in putting out procurements to other contractors. So obviously inherently in that mission, anything we do in that sort of thing would cause what's called an OCI, an organizational conflict of interest with our we can't work on helping the government put out a procurement that we then bid on. So in other words, we're very conscious of that, but that is one of our lines of work.
And you came from the Army, hence why, you know, this is an area you know. You were in the Army for nearly three decades, and it was primarily in the area of public affairs.
That is correct. Actually, I began in the Women's Army Corps in 1973. I got my commission in December of 1973, and I went to training in either January or February of 74. So that's and then I became a personnel officer. And in those days, the Women's Army Corps was actually a separate army. I mean, we had things like my initial training, just to give you an example of how different things are today, even for people who aren't familiar with the military. We had a week of field training where they took us out and taught us how to put up our pup tents, and we had various types of face mask training and weapons training and various things. And then one night it rained, so they brought a truck to take us back to the barracks and left our tents and everything out there because they didn't want us to get wet. So it was a different mindset. I don't think that they stopped the war, you know,
right, because
it rains.
Right.
But that's, you know, so it was a different kind of world, really, than it is today. This was before women went to West Point. It was before women were in ROTC. It was before women and men had integrated training, either enlisted or officers. So I have been part of all of that changing. And it's been wonderful. So later in my career, I actually very early in my career, I went into public affairs. And then most of my career was as a public affairs officer.
Now, you this is an interesting story. Your public affairs office for the Secretary of the Army was destroyed in the terrorist attacks on the Pentagon on September 11th. And you actually called, this is, you know, a testament to your service, you called the Army and asked to be put back on active duty because of that. And so then at some point you were called back to active duty. So, I mean, talk about the feelings of that.
Well, it was more than that. It's true that the public affairs office was, the plane plowed right into the public affairs office. I was not on active duty. But the desk that I was in went up in flames, that I would sit in when I was on active duty went up in flames. Fortunately, I believe no reservists were in the desk that day. So, but the other way I was affected by that is I had a young cousin who was on the 104th floor of the World Trade Center, and he was lost that day as well. So it was very emotional for me. It still is. And I felt very angry. I mean, you say, how did I feel? I just felt angry, and I wanted to do something. So I called up the Army Reserves, and I said, please put me on active duty. I want to do something. I want to serve. And so the Army, being the Army, said, Louisa, we're really glad you called. That was nice of you. Thank you for volunteering. We were going to call you anyway, but we're glad you called. So, but I came on active duty by October.
Wow. And then at some point you said, you know, at that point, then you said, I want to start my own business.
Well, what happened is I had been serving in the Army Public Affairs Office 10 years earlier during Desert Storm. And at that time, reservists such as myself who came on active duty that were near retirement, there was a stop loss order. And everyone that I was assigned with thought that that would be the case at the time of right after 9/11, and it was not the case. And it was 28 years since I, as they say, raised my right hand and took my oath of office. And so it was, the law is I had to stop. I was a lieutenant colonel, so 28 years was the max I could do, and I had to retire. So
and you weren't ready to retire.
I wasn't. I didn't want to leave. I love the Army, and I particularly felt passionate about serving at that particular time. And it was about that moment in history that I met Bill Jaffe, and he had been a government contractor for many years, about 20 plus years. And I was bemoaning, I met him at a networking event somewhere, and I was bemoaning my fate. Oh, I can't believe it. I have to get out of the Army. It can't be true after 28 years and so forth. And he said to me something which really transformed the way I thought about things. He said, Louisa, maybe there's another way for you to serve your country. And I was startled back into the present from my wine fest. And he said, you know, the government really needs good business people to run, to do contracting. There's a lot of work to be done. They need people of knowledge, and this could be open up something new for you. So the more I learned about it, the more it was a perfect blend for me of my, I also had a business background, so it was a perfect blend for me of my business and military background. And a year later, he and I did the only logical thing under the circumstances. We got on a plane and we went to Las Vegas and we got married with Elvis.
Now, whose idea was that?
Actually, that was his idea.
and you were crazy enough to do it.
I was, and I loved it. We had a great time, and when we went to Las Vegas and got married, it was during that time that we talked about how about we start our own business? And as a woman veteran, it was available to create a business set aside for woman-owned, service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. And so we made that decision in July. In September, we were incorporated, and we hung out our shingle in January of I was about to say 74, which is when I went into the Women's Army Corps, but it was 2004. So we've been in business. TAPE has been in business since January of 2004.
And to start the company, to fund it, you sold your house in McLean so you could start the company debt-free. But what's interesting about this is your friends thought this was not a smart idea.
I had one friend in particular who practically begged me not to do it. She said, "Louisa, you're 53. You're not 23. What are you doing selling your house? You'll never get back into real estate again. This is crazy." But Bill and I are very passionate about running our business with freedom from debt. We didn't want to run up credit card debt or anything like that. And so this was the way that we said, well, in 5 years from now, will we be better off if we keep paying a mortgage payment or if we take our equity out of the house and put it into a business? And we made the decision that putting it into the business was what we wanted to do. And the interesting thing is that, well, not quite 5 years later, but a few years later, we were able to buy another house. And so we did get back into real estate.
Oh, that's good.
But I guess it's just that I grew up in a business family. I was familiar with some of the difficulties of running a business. And it wasn't just a starry-eyed idea. I already had experience in startup businesses. I knew it would be hard, and it was. It was very hard. But nonetheless, that's how we funded ourselves. We took the equity out of our house, and we rented a house, and we ran our business out of our townhouse for several years. At one point, we actually had 8 people working out of our little townhouse.
Out of your house. Oh, that's funny.
But before we won a big contract and moved into an office.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being with us, Louisa. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side of this break.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L Architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio, audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, back in the Leaders Portfolio studio with the CEO, president, owner, and co-founder of Tape, Louisa Jaffe. And Louisa, we were talking before the break about her company. Tape is an Inc. 500, ranked number 77 in 2009, the Washington Technology Fast 50 list as well, ranked number 2. And Tape was founded on the concepts, I read this in your kind of about Tape, of integrity, effectiveness, and superior customer service. So a question for you was kind of what kind of process have you implemented to kind of ensure those, integrity, effectiveness, superior customer service in your business?
That's a great question. And I would say that the most important thing we've done is to focus on really vetting the employees that we hire. We put people through a lot of vetting before they come to us. We really focus on our employees in this company. We really care about them. I don't just mean that we care about them as people. We care about them professionally. We want people to come to a job where they feel they have value and they can, and they have the opportunity to provide value, and they're empowered to provide value. So one of the things that we've done is we give a copy of a book called Change the Way You See Everything, by Hank Wozniak, and it's a book about something called asset-based thinking. And I personally give this book to every new employee, and I talk to them about what it means. And asset-based thinking, in a nutshell, means taking a situation and making the decision that it's an asset, even if you hate it, you don't like it, it makes you unhappy, it makes you angry. Whatever you feel about it, you still can make the decision to make it an asset. And we ask all of our employees to read this book and study it and apply it to their own lives, but also to help our government customers, because people in government are often very overworked, huge burdens, huge requirements, not enough staff, and they can get very frustrated with what they have to do. And so I've asked our employees to help them find the asset in whatever the situation is that they have. And our employees have risen to that challenge again and again and again. So I think that for me, integrity is about not just about right and wrong and legal and illegal or moral and immoral. To me, integrity is focusing on the customer's success, really focusing on the customer's success, and doing everything you can to create success for your customer as your definition of success.
Excellent. And that's kind of, you're kind of answering my next question, which is, what's your leadership philosophy? Right? That's kind of your answer. Talk about a leadership mistake you've made. Some bad decision, something, you know, that really, maybe something came out of nowhere and you weren't expecting it. Could be with a past company as well, or past, you know, could be during your Army career.
I think that it's hard for me to think in those terms, because as I was talking about the asset-based thinking, I'm not saying that I've never made mistakes. I'm sure that I have and probably do all the time. But my philosophy about that is to take whatever action I've made and find the asset in that and turn it into a positive. So I think that maybe a mistaken judgment that I made was when we were starting out, it was impossible to realize how long it might take us to win awards that would create the cash flow that we needed to be able to create the kind of employee benefits we wanted. And we made it happen anyway, but I didn't I don't know if I'd call that a mistake, but in a way it was a mistake in the sense that we plowed ahead without really understanding sometimes what it was going to take. But for us, for me personally and for my husband and me, we always wanted to create a company that would provide the same kinds of benefits that a big company can. And so we made ourselves that company very early on when we only had just a few employees. Our benefits could stand up against a big company.
Wow.
And it wasn't a mistake because it turned out working out very well.
But it was risky.
It was risky. That's the word for it. It was very risky, and it was simply that we had a standard that we wanted to uphold.
Now, for the last two decades, we're speaking with CEO, president, owner, and co-founder of Tape, Louisa Jaffe. You've also owned and managed a Citrus Grove retail, shipping, and wholesale business in Florida. And when you look at your background, it makes sense. You have a bachelor's in English from the University of Florida, Gainesville, and a bachelor's in citrus management from Florida Southern College. You also have a master's of arts in business at Central Michigan University. So this, I mean, this is interesting, right? You shifted from citrus management to the Army, right? So talk a little bit about that.
Well, actually, it was the other way around. I was in the Army first. I graduated from the University of Florida with a degree in English, and it was following that I went into the Women's Army Corps. It was, about 15 years later that I went back to college. When I was in the Army Reserves, I was no longer on full-time active duty, and I took the degree in citrus management. At that time, my parents were entrepreneurs. They loved to buy businesses, run them for a while, sell them, and then start up with another one. And they ran everything from a chain of funeral parlors to a radio station to a soft drink bottling company. They bottled Heyer's root beer and Royal Crown Cola and drinks that nobody's ever heard of anymore. Mm-hmm. And then one of the businesses that they bought was the Citrus Grove. As an adult, while I was in the reserves, I also was in business, in the citrus business, with my father. And the citrus business I did full time. We had retail and wholesale fruit. We had juice that we prepared. You know, we mm-hmm. made juice ourselves. We had gift fruit shipping and so forth. I did all of those things. However, by the time of 9/11, that was winding down. We sold one half of the Grove. We still own the other half. And the good news is we still have the Grove. The bad news is there aren't any trees on it anymore because a disease killed the trees.
Oh.
So we pulled them out and put cattle in there. And it really does not require any of my time. I don't have to spend any time managing that as a business anymore. But I did for many years.
And you enjoyed it. I loved it. There's nothing beats a Florida orange.
That's right.
They taste so good.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
And you probably know boiled peanuts, too. Do you know boiled peanuts?
I
love those boiled peanuts.
Oh, yeah. They're wonderful.
All right. And so I got a Forbes business quote for you. William Gladstone said, "It's the duty of government to make it difficult for people to do wrong, easy to do right." It's the duty of government to make it difficult for people to do wrong, easy to do right. And, of course, this quote is applicable because of your Army background, you know, your service to government. So what are your thoughts on that quote?
Well, it applies in different ways. I think it applies one way to the military and another way to government contractors. Certainly, I would say from my experience in the military, the military, which is part of the government, by the training that you get, it's difficult to do wrong because it's all about doing the right thing. It's all about leadership in the military mm-hmm. is all about integrity. I mean, we're just taught it constantly. So it would be to not act with integrity would be difficult after all of that training. And people who are attracted to the military who thrive in the military thrive because they're attracted to those values. I don't really know what the government can do to make it hard for people to do wrong in government, as a mm-hmm. business person. what, you know, but what I think is that it comes back to what I was saying before. It starts with who you are. So we hire a lot of veterans, and therefore I know I'm bringing in that want-to-do-right kind philosophy right from the start.
Excellent. We're speaking with the CEO, president, owner, and co-founder of TAPE, Louisa Jaffe. And Louisa, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you very much. This is a delight.
Louisa's audiocast is available at leadersportfolio.com. That's leadersportfolio.com. Or you may be hearing this on the air. And so we want to thank Louisa for being in studio. Link to her business and her bio are also available at leadersportfolio.com, where you could also find out about the Leaders Portfolio Awards that are happening this month on Leaders Portfolio. We are looking for the Leadership Business of the Year under 50 employees, the Leadership Business of the Year over 50 employees, the Leadership Business of the Year outside the D.C. area, the Rising Business Leader. Hey, maybe you know somebody who doesn't own a business, but you can see someday they are gonna. And that would be good for Rising Business Leader of the Year. And also Business Leader of the Year under 50 employees and over 50 employees. We did these awards last year in 2010. They were a huge success. We had a lot of applicants and wanted to do something. You know, Louisa was talking about 9/11 before and, you know, some of the kind of negatives that are going on in society, obviously, with what happened. And, you know, we can carry that through to some of the financial negatives, but Bernie Madoff, et cetera. But we want to reward businesses that are making good leadership and ethics decisions. And so that's what the Leaders Portfolio Awards are for. So maybe you want to nominate somebody or you yourself want to apply. Or maybe you have a client who deserves to be Leadership Business of the Year. And so nominate them now at leadersportfolio.com. There's an application. It won't take long to fill out. And so that's our awards. I want to thank the supporters of leadership: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. If you are trying to make a statement and say that you are a business that supports leadership and giving back to the community, then consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We really appreciate their sponsors. It allows us to do what we do and provide great content. I want to thank our senior producer, Dr. Oler's production team, Miguel, Jennifer, Christine, Tara. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith asking you what's in your portfolio.